Thanks for tuning in to Tapped In. If you're feeling stuck or overwhelmed on the mats, come find your direction in our DFM coaching BJJ school community. Now, let's get started.
Welcome to Tapped In. My name is David Figueroa Martinez of DFM Coaching, and today is my birthday. Not technically. I'm recording this early February. My birthday is on the 17th, and I wanted to release this on that day since it's a drop date. And really, I'm just kind of going to talk about what I've learned in my 45 years and almost 15 years of training jiu-jitsu and how it applied to certain aspects of my life. I love jiu-jitsu. I love what it's done for me. I love what the doors that it's been able to open for me. I would not have ever pictured myself coaching or instructing. As much as it kind of piqued my interest, if you had met me at 30, late 20s, anytime before I started jiu-jitsu, actually, you would not have pegged me as someone who was going to do a podcast or was going to be instructing or leading a program. It wasn't in my nature and it wasn't part of my skill set. I was incredibly shy, quiet. I did not like attention on me. I did not like being the focus of attention. I don't like being the head of the class. I didn't like any of these things. I did not like public speaking in the slightest. It panicked me. It scared me. It made me feel really uncomfortable. It wasn't something that was of any interest to me. There's a couple of reasons why. I remember, and I think I mentioned this, I remember I used to hate having to read out loud. And back in class, you all have to read like a page or a paragraph or whatever it might be. And my thing is, I got hung up on island and sounded it out and it came out Island, and I can hear people snicker. I tell that joke or that memory a lot because it stuck with me all these years. And I just never wanted to be the focus of attention or of a class, because your mistakes are so highlighted and everyone sees them. Now I flub my words all the time. I just accept it. This podcast, I flub my words. I don't edit. I don't heavy edit. I do some sound stuff. I take out a couple of ums and ohs, but this podcast is imperfect and I accept that it's imperfect and I think it gives it a little bit of life. I flub my words when I'm teaching. I say elbow when I mean knee, or I see left hand when I mean the right hand, and so on. It's part of the process, and I don't get upset by it. I just accept it, and I think it gives a certain level of life to a project when it's imperfect, especially when you have AI writing so much shit, and everyone wants to be on social media and be perfect and camera ready. And they heavily edit and they do a bunch of different takes for that specific shot and everything seems so perfect. I want to illustrate that my jiu-jitsu, my podcast, my writing, my things that I might say to someone are incredibly imperfect. And that's kind of the beauty of it. Like when you get something that's handmade, it's never going to be the same version as something else that same person maybe made handmade. There's going to be little quirks in it. There's going to be a little mistake or a little, the measurements are slightly off. It's never the same. And that's the beauty of like handmade shit. And I think as I've gotten older, I've really grown to love the fact that I'm okay with my jiu-jitsu being imperfect. I'm okay with someone saying, well, you can do this technique a little bit better this way or that way. But this is the way I do it. And I do it for these specific reasons. And maybe my legs are shorter than yours, so you're able to cut the angle a little bit better than I am. Maybe you've had more experience or you have more time to train. And I'm training these days two, maybe, if I'm lucky, three times a week. You know what I mean? I focus so much more on teaching that I don't get to train as much. And I've accepted it. And I accept that my jiu-jitsu is going to be imperfect and it's always going to be that way. And there's no perfection in it. Everyone does a technique specifically because of their body type, their temperament, the people that they train with, the instructor that they have. I may have learned it in a technique off of a YouTube channel and didn't have an instructor in front of me that was able to point out some things that were maybe structurally unsound, but that I still get away with because I'm just able to do it. And I've learned over years that we're all going to learn techniques differently from one another. We're going to have a level of understanding based on the technique at that given time in our lives. And I might revisit a technique in 6 months, a year, 3 years, and I might have different view of it because now I'm unable to hit a technique with athleticism or strength because now I'm a little bit older. And now I'm finding ways to hit that same technique with pure technique, like pure leverage and angle and all these other things that you're really supposed to be doing with jiu-jitsu. But I revisit it later because my body isn't able to do the things that it used to do. And I've accepted that. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be perfect in the slightest way. And there's something freeing in that. So when I'm teaching class and I notice that a student maybe takes a different approach on it, I will not tell them that it's wrong. Oftentimes I heard that when I was coming up. Oh, that's the wrong technique. You're doing it wrong. What I tend to say as an instructor approaching 45 is, the technique isn't wrong, but I want you to keep this, this, and this in mind. So let's say a student's doing it a specific way. And they might be doing it that way because it leads into a technique that they do really well on the back end that I am not foreseeing because that's not where I'm going with the technique. I'll often say, if you do it this way, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a different technique. It's not the one I'm teaching. But if you do it this way, I want you to be aware of A, B, and C, or A and B. Be aware of these things. You can successfully pull off this technique the way you're doing it. I just want you to be aware of this, because this is what may happen when you do this. So then they're aware. They can make the choice if they want to make the change, or just be aware of what is going to happen if they don't, which is just another avenue. There's ways that I do techniques that other people don't do. And I might be doing them specifically because I want something very specific to happen. Someone might do a technique and end up in side control most often. I might do a technique, and because I do it a certain way, it exposes the back a little bit more, and it encourages my training partner to expose the back because that feels like a safer route than going flat to side control. So there's a bunch of different reasons why we might be doing something. I also tell students, you might be doing the technique differently because of your size. And I've learned that I have to be flexible in what I want from them because I am 5'4". They might be 6'1". They might be heavier in body weight. And the way I come up may not feel comfortable to them. They might be 120 pounds. So them holding someone down doesn't feel comfortable because they don't have the body weight and the pressure mechanics to do so. So then we have to adjust. And they may be already planning that adjustment based on what they do. And I've learned to accept that. I really tell anyone that the technique's wrong. I might highlight, hey, I'd rather that you did this a little bit more. Or you're doing everything perfect up until this moment. Now you're losing the angle. I want you to shift out. I want you to lean. I want you to, like, and then I correct that aspect. But yeah, and nothing's perfect. And perfection is not what I'm striving for at this age, nor what I'm striving for from my students. We don't have time to be perfect. I teach a lot of 30 and 40 year olds. Doesn't mean that they shouldn't be aware of what the technique is supposed to be. We don't have time to be perfect. So we strive to be as good as we can be in the time that we have. And then we make adjustments. We start carving at it, making a little bit more detailed, a little bit more specific to what we need, and we move on. I've also noticed or learned that consistency is always going to be superpower. And sometimes it's, you're inconsistent because of life. And there's times where I get sick, and for example, I got sick twice in December. I got sick last week at the end of January. And it just, it is what it is. Like, as much as I want to be in the training room and I want to be teaching and spending time on the mats getting better, I've noticed that sometimes you just got to take some time off. And whether you are intentional about that time off or life just gets in the way and sits you down for a minute, just accept it. And understand that consistency is not, again, perfect. I might be striving to be in the training room two times a week. It's not always going to happen. But when I have the control and I can make it happen, I make it happen. There was a lot of people that were way better than I was, more technical, more athletic, had better presence in jiu-jitsu than I did, who never made it to black belt because they were inconsistent. Or they relied too much on these other aspects and attributes of your body that with time become inconsistent. Strength, speed, athleticism, for example. Those things go away eventually or start to wane. And if you can't make the decision to become more technically consistent, they'll get in the way. And I think I've done a really good job of understanding what I had to do and trying to do it as often as I could. And that went for my own training, but it also went for being an instructor. I understood that my role is bigger than just teaching technique. There's a lot of mentorship. There's a lot of leadership. There's a lot of listening and guiding and answering questions and being there when people don't feel like themselves or they feel like they're failing, and you got to kind of motivate them a little bit or sometimes just listen. All that is a form of consistency, emotionally consistent, not getting too bad or too harping too negatively about mistakes you make or aspects of your game that you may never develop because you don't have time. And you just kind of stay level-headed and emotionally regulated where life got in the way today. I couldn't train. I'm okay. Or I wanted the class to learn these two techniques today, but it didn't happen because I had more questions on the first technique. It's okay. It means that we got to spend a little bit more time where they needed it. Tomorrow, I'm going to start assessing the second technique and moving on accordingly. All that is consistency. And not letting yourself ride too high or too low. Because life is going to get in the way. Things are going to get in the way. Your opponent's going to make decisions for you that you didn't make for yourself. I think I've gotten a lot better about ego. Not that I was ego-driven. But I think that works both ways. I think that a healthy amount of ego, and I know ego has a really negative connotation, and I tend to shy away from using the word ego. I like to use confidence. There is moments where sometimes I'm not as confident as I should be. I've grown better about it. I've gotten a lot better about it over the years. But there's times when I'm not confident about certain things that I do for people. Sometimes I get into these conversations with my students or friends or whoever, and they'll say these really meaningful things that I don't see sometimes, or I forget about, because my confidence level in my technique is high, but it's not always as high when it comes to the things I do for people. I don't harp on those things. I don't spend enough time thinking about them. So while I understand that I have a really big role in people's lives, I don't let it fuel me. So sometimes when someone might say something really powerful or meaningful about something I did for them, it sits for a minute and then I keep moving and it almost falls off somewhere. And I don't always see how much my work does for people. And I think it's a me thing, not anything else. It's a me thing. So I don't always feel comfortable or confident in everything my work does. And it's something I'm trying to work on. And then when people say something, I'm like, oh shit, I don't know how to take it. I don't know how to, where to put it. I don't know, like, because it brings up a bunch of emotions that I don't know what to deal with. So I that's an aspect that I've been trying to work on over time. My confidence does grow in, I know that I can teach well. I know that I can, my technique is really good. But not so good because I understand there's levels to this, and I just had someone literally just mop the floor with me a couple weeks ago, and that was healthy for me. I understand that confidence-wise, I keep it middle to low, as weird as that sounds, so that when I get caught in something by a lighter belt, blue, sometimes even a white belt, I don't get driven to confidence to the point where my ego checks in and says, I'm not going to submit and then get injured. Every once in a while, I'm playing and I'm just being loose and I get caught in something. And if my ego was so present that it would not allow me to tap, I would get injured. I have a really healthy relationship with ego when it comes to that. I understand that I can learn from anyone. I learn from people who are blue belts who are great at specific things. I have purple belts that are great at these specific chokes. Or this specific approach. And I love picking their brain about things. But I'm also really aware of, because of that, that I can get got. And sometimes you get into this armbar position and you're just like, fuck, I'm going to have to tap. Sometimes you push the envelope just slightly, but then you're like, nah, I got to tap. Because you want to be on the mats. So I have a healthy relationship with my ego, my confidence levels. There's areas where I need to understand them a bit better and accept certain things. It's just me. It's not anyone else. But it's something that I am constantly working at. I've started to understand even more so now that my body is not a tool and more of an aid or a teammate. When I was training in my early 30s, I don't even know if that's the prime athletically, but when I was training in my early 30s, I didn't give a shit. I trained hard. I trained competition classes. I competed. I did whatever. It didn't dawn on me that, and I knew it, but it didn't dawn on me that I needed to take care of my body more so. You didn't really have to. You're a little younger. My 40s have been really not, how do I put this? They haven't been terrible, but I've had some things happen where I'm like, oh, I got to take this. I got to ease up a little bit. So there's days where in my 30s, I would have trained. And now I'm like, nah, I'm going to sit out. Or I pick someone that I know will be careful with me. And I'll train around something, around an injury and an ailment, just to move. Or maybe we have odd number of students and I don't want them to sit out. So I jump in and I tell them, hey, I got this going on. I understand that I need to take care of myself. I stretch a bit more. I'm more aware of the positions that I find myself in and which ones aren't beneficial to me and which ones I can maybe wiggle around, but I'm more conscious. And as much as I want to train as hard as I can, I can't every day of the week. I can't, even when I was focused on the competition, I did notice where there were days where I'm like, I gotta ease up today. The other week, I think 3 weeks ago, I had this knot in my shoulder blade that just killed me. It was hard to sleep. It was hard to move. It was hard to sit. It was anguish, terrible pain. And to the point where I have a little bit of numbness in my thumb. It's gotten better. It's healing up. But I took time off, which is not something I would have done in my 30s. I understand that I need to listen. And there's times when you can push. And there's times when you just got to ease off. And I'm trying to get to 50, 60, and 70 and still be able to get on the mats and teach and maybe roll and roll competitively with some people. I don't want to be so banged up that I can't function. If there's anything that I would tell my younger self, The most common is probably don't rush the process. I wanted to get out of blue belt so hard, so fast. Don't rush the process. Enjoy every minute that you're on the mats. Enjoy everything. Don't get emotionally wrapped up in the negatives and the losses and the hard training. Accept that everything is supposed to happen for a very specific reason. Even the things that you think should have never went through this. Those are moments where you get to have experiences that someone else didn't have and you get to speak on. I get to speak on cultures that aren't very positive because of what I went through. I get to speak on certain things that I went through as a child that affect me even now. I get to speak on that. And it gives me a little bit of like a badge of, hey, I have credibility here because I went through XYZ. Don't rush the process. You don't need everyone to like you. You do not need to roll hard every day. You do not need to train every week. This is a sport that's year-round. It's okay to take a couple of weeks off. Be like, hey, I'm going to take a week or two off. I'm going to go enjoy something else. Additionally, have other hobbies. There's way too many of you that don't have another hobby. And this is the hobby. If you're going to excel in the sport, you want to pick up other side jobs. Not side jobs, but like side interests. Because they help you with this one. And for me, a lot of it was I liked writing, I liked reading, I liked diving into leadership courses. I liked diving into cultural courses and how to build a better culture. And that ended up being a big part of what I do now as a black belt. But I wouldn't have gotten to this part and been able to do this very well if I didn't foster those interests while it was coming up. I think I would tell myself to speak up sooner. There was a lot of things that I saw coming up in jiu-jitsu that I maybe ignored or I didn't know how to handle. I didn't know where my voice would fit in, if I would be listened to, if it would matter. I didn't want to alienate certain relationships. Looking back, I would have alienated a couple of relationships much faster. I said, fuck it. It took me a while to get to a spot where I was most comfortable with, like, you know what? Whatever happens, happens. I don't need anything here. I can get anywhere else. And I'm just going to have to speak on it. And so it took me a while to get there. Have patience with yourself. There's going to be days where you're not going to understand anything that's going on in class. You may have come in stressed from work, and today just isn't a learning day. It's just an existing day. So you come in and just go through the motions. Then the next day it's like, okay, I'm here to learn. And that's perfectly fine. I have absolutely loved my time in jiu-jitsu, and I continue to move forward. I'm 45. I don't necessarily feel 45. I don't have any kids, so I think that's part of it. But it sometimes feels like I'm still a teenager in early 20s. It's a little weird to explain. But I love what I'm doing. I love the life that I have. I love everything that I have in place now. I'm trying to strive for other things and continue to grow in the sport and as a leader. But I have absolutely loved what I do right now. Love it. I would not have thought that this is what I was going to be doing at 45. I had no idea. But I love it. I love the sport. If you have any questions, concerns, comments you'd like to make, please hit me up. DFM.2099 on Instagram and Threads. Again, turn 45 today. Wish me a happy birthday. Thank you so much. Until next time.